This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong to Allah the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His help and aid and we ask Him that He forgive us. And we seek His refuge from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. Indeed, the best of speech is that of the Book of Allah. And the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated. And every religious innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. And every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was passing by two graves. And Allah had made him, allowed him to hear what was happening to them. So he said, أَمَا إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ بَلَا إِنَّهُ كَبِيرٍ. He said, indeed they are being punished. And they're not being punished for something major. No, indeed it is major. أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. He said, as for one of them, he used not to conceal himself or separate himself, protect himself from urine when he urinates. Right? And for the second one, he used to travel or he used to spread namima, gossip. And the ulama have said, trying to decipher and understand what is the secret behind combining these two punishments in the grave. Because in this hadith is clear evidence that some Muslims will be punished in their graves because of things that they have done. It says, what is here the secret of the combination between the two? And some of them have said that the grave is the introduction of the accounting, of the accountability, before the full accountability on the Day of Judgment. And the accountability on the Day of Judgment will proceed on two levels. Rights that pertain to Allah and rights that pertain to His slaves. As for the rights that pertain to Allah, the first that one will be asked about is salah. And as for the rights that pertain to the slaves of Allah, the first that person will be asked about is shedding blood illegally, killing people. So said the introduction to these two is tahara. and speaking ill about people, namima, spreading gossip. Because tahara is the key to salah. And without having tahara, without purifying oneself from urine, he does not have tahara. And if you don't have tahara, you don't have salah. So that's the beginning. The key to salah is tahara. And if a person sacrifices that, he or she will see the consequences of that in the grave. And how do people shed blood, and why do they shed blood? They say the key to it is spreading rumors and gossip between people and in the community. And that's why it's major. And when you look at it in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about namima, and we'll define it shortly inshallah, when He speaks about gossip or namima in the Quran, you find it among the attributes of the kuffar. When Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. He is speaking, addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Qalam. He says, do not listen. Do not obey. He who habitually swears by Allah, and he is worthless in himself. Why does he habitually swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because he lies. You do that when you want to confirm your lies because you do not believe them yourself and you do want others to believe them. So you habitually swear by Allah even if you're lying. So he says, do not listen to that person who is worthless in himself. And that's why he violates the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly. هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. He is scornful of people. He ridicules people with speech and with gestures and actions. هَمَّاز. And also مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. He spreads gossip and namima. مَنَّاعٍ لِلْخَيْرِ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. He holds back his good, but he sins and transgresses. That is the picture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws of a kafir. And one of the attributes that he highlights is namima. What is namima? Namima simply is for a person to hear something and to go and transfer that and transport it to some other people, to some other setting with the intent of corruption, severing relationship, ruining reputation, creating animosity between people. That is namima. And at its essence, as some scholars have said, is the divulgence of secrets. Is to divulge a secret that you were supposed to keep, but instead you share with other people. And because it is so severe, and it is so serious, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, as you will find in the Sahihain, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ نَمَّامٌ. The Nammam shall not enter paradise. And because of this, the scholars counted namima, and because of the first hadith, they counted it as a major sin. As a major sin. That people overlook and partake in and participate in so easily. Yes, it is so easy for them to avoid. That's why in the first hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. It's not major. Then he says, but it is major. What does that mean? That it is not major to avoid, but it's major sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that it is not major in their eyes, but it is so major with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. You think that it is light, but it is not so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, to understand, or to make us understand why it is so, such a grave sin, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلِ مِنْ دَرَجَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ إِصْلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ. Shall I not tell you about a station that is higher than the station of salah and sadaqah and siyam? It is mending relationship between people. And of course, this does not mean from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can do this and do away with those. Stop salah and sadaqah and siyam and start just fixing and mending relationship between people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it is a station that is even higher. What is beneath it is required. But in order to reach it, you need salah and sadaqah and siyam. But it lies there on the top. And then he continues, فَإِنَّ فَسَادَ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةِ لَا أَقُولُ تَحْلِقُ الشَّعْرَ وَلَكِنْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ. He says, because sour relationships or evil relationship or the corruption of relationship between people, فساد ذات البين هي الحالقة, it is the shaving. I do not say it shaves hair, but it shaves religion. It eliminates it completely. And you can see that among people, even sometimes among the religious. When you hear somebody tells you, so and so had said such and such about you, and transfers that evil news to you, what happens to the family? What happens to the friendship? What happens to that relationship? You begin to suspect him or her and vice versa. Then the escalation continues, the animosity grows, and people begin to lie and backbite, and they start to steal and cheat, and it can reach the level of killing other people just because of that key that opened this entire evil, which is the key of Namima. So there is no limit to it. There is no stop to the evil that it can create. And it can actually can eliminate your entire religion if you allow it so. And the person who practices such an act actually is among the lowest of the ranks of people. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a sahih hadith, he says, خَيْرُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا رُوُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. It says, the best of the slaves of Allah. Who are the best of the slaves of Allah? It says, those who when you see them, you remember Allah. These are the best of people. And of course, there's a reason why when you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because outwardly, they had followed the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had followed the book of Allah and how they behave. Outwardly and inwardly as well. They command the good, they forbid evil. They speak the truth, they avoid lying. So in their attitude, in their life, when you look at them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you see them. Who are the worst of people? وَشَرُّ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الْمَشَّاءُونَ بِالنَّمِيمَةِ الْمُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْأَحِبَّةِ الْبَاغُونَ لِلْبُرَآءِ الْعَنَتِ وَفِي طَرِيقٍ الْبَاغُونَ لِلْبُرَآءِ الْعَيْبِ. It says, the worst of people are those who travel with namima, with gossip. They travel with it, they spread it among people. And they separate between loved ones. And they seek for the innocent difficulty and burden. Or in another hadith, they seek the faults of the innocent to discover them even if they are not there. To create them even if they are not there. And namima is often associated with lying as well. Because you can transport and you can tell other people what actually had happened. And your intent could be to corrupt. But often associated with it is an addition to it, to spice it up, to increase that this animosity. People also lie as well. وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. The person will continue to do this and will continue to lie until he is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a liar. So imagine, what is your reputation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it a person who spreads hatred and falsehood and rumors and gossip among people? Or is it a person who speaks the truth and indeed acts as a filter? As a Muslim should always be a filter. Not everything that you hear should be spread. Not everything that you hear should be repeated. But you should look and consider, is there any benefit in it or not? And if there's evil in it, it should stop with you. As a filter indeed. Holds the pollutants back. Holds the contaminations back. And allows only pure water to pass through. So you should be a Muslim. That if you are evil, it stays with you. And you suppress it. And you decrease it. And not pass it and allow it to pass through to other people. There was once a story to highlight the effects of namima. Someone wanted to hire a servant. And the person who was giving him giving that hire, he said, you can hire this servant, and there is really no fault with him except that he practices namima. He says, I'm fine with that. So he brings him to his home, and after a few days, this servant goes to the wife, and he says, your husband started to dislike you. And if you want him to like you again, I have a recipe for you. She says, what is the recipe? He says, you have to bring me, you know, some hairs from his beard. Wait till he's asleep, go to him, cut few hairs from his beard and bring those to me. She said, I will do that. Then he goes to the husband and he says, your wife has found somebody else. She doesn't want to stay with you anymore. So she will wait till you're asleep and she will come and she will kill you. So he says, tonight when you sleep, fake your sleep and wait and see what she will do. So at night, he faked that he was asleep, and the wife came upon the instruction of the servant to take few hairs from his beard. And he found, the husband found his wife on top of him with scissors. And what did he think? That she is there to kill him. So he took the scissors from her and he slaughtered her and killed her. And then when the family of the wife knew about what happened, they came to the house and they killed him too. Now you may or may not encounter a situation as drastic as this one. But it does highlight that when one practices namima, one indeed has opened the doors of evil, and marriages break because of it. Brothers and sisters stop talking to each other because of it. Mothers and daughters, mothers and sons, or fathers and sons stop talking to each other because of it. And when that happens, the entire religion and its practice is demolished, because one evil leads to another evil and so on and so on. So heed the warning of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he says he will not enter paradise and seek Allah's refuge from the practice of namima, of listening to namima, and of spreading namima. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, the question is, why is it that we practice such a thing? It is of the sins of the tongue. And the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم had said that this part of the body is one responsible for throwing most or a lot of us in hellfire. It is a sin that is easily avoided. Unfortunately, it's part of culture. You see that, for instance, in Western culture, where industries, print media, visual media, is built on the spread of namima, on the discovery of focusing on the rich, on the famous, discovering what is happening with them, and spreading that to everybody, in order to ruin lives, in order to create controversy, and in order to create sale, to increase sales and attract attention. And this is not only Western, but it had spread globally. But that's not only true with regards to the Western world. Actually, part of a lot of Muslim countries, the culture within that country, is to actually engage in namima. And let us examine actually truthfully our conversations when we sit together and meet. Men or women, a good bulk of that conversation is, what is this family doing? What happened to his job? Did he graduate or not? Was he fired or not? Did he fail or not? What happened to her? What is her relationship with her husband? Are they fighting or not? And then when you know all of this and you go and spread it to other people, you're actually betraying the trust of that family and that individual when you transfer the news like this haphazardly without taking care of the damage that you're trying to make. So we engage in entertainment when we're sitting together, backbiting people and spreading namima and thinking that this is a light conversation, a light setting, that when we meet Allah, He's not going to ask us about it. What happens if when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have this long record, all of the times that you spent, all the nights that you spent with your friends and family, thinking that it is a light conversation, and Allah comes and says, none of these were innocent. You have damaged relationship, you have damaged reputations. None of these were innocent. Now we will be held responsible for them. What would you say? It is so easy to avoid, but you have to extract yourself from it. And you have to warn your family about it. If your family is sitting and eating poison, I ask you, if they're eating poison, if they're sitting and eating haram, would you not actually stand and tell them this is wrong? Stop it, you are killing yourself. So if they are engaged in namima, if they are engaged in ghibah, in backbiting people, should you not stand and say, this is haram? Stop it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns you for it. And if you are unable to stop it, the least of what you can do is to extract yourself from that setting. Is remove yourself from that setting. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullahi alayh, the people, they used to tell him, why don't you sit with us? He says, "Inni ujalisu sahabata wa tabi'in." He says, I am keeping the company of the sahaba and the tabi'in through their narratives, through the books. He says, I'm keeping their company. Then he says, وَمَا أَفْعَلُ بِمُجَالَسَتِكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ تَغْتَابُونَ النَّاسِ. What should I do sitting with you? You're backbiting people. That is the attitude. What should I do with sitting with you if you backbite people and you are spreading namima about people? Why do we do it? Why do we engage in it? One of it is that we don't know that it is serious. So we do it. Another is that we are so envious of another person, of their success, that we want to destroy them. We want to ruin their reputation. We want to bring them down. So we investigate what is wrong with them and we tell other people about it. We only feel good about ourselves if others are failing. And that if that is our attitude, if this is our heart, then we are among the worst of people, as the hadith that I quoted illustrate. Then we are indeed among the worst of people, because we are breaking relationships and we're happy doing it. Why do we engage in it? We engage in it because our hearts sometimes are not pure. We want to lift ourselves up. But indeed know that the only thing that lifts us up is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if people know you as an imam, they will start to hate you. And they were not going to share their secrets with you. And you know that. If you know a person divulges and spreads secrets, you're not going to share their secret, your secret with him. And he's going to be known as a pariah. People will know you as a pariah and they will avoid you and they will hate you. That is a fact. Allah will not put the love of people or your love in the hearts of people. And what should you do when you receive namima finally? What should you do when you receive this namima yourself? First of all, know that it is sinful. And remind the person who is transferring this news to you that this is a sin. That I do not need to hear any of this. If what you're saying is true, then may Allah forgive the other person. But you do not need to transfer this news to me or to transfer my news to that other person. Because it always involves, or it often involves, a type of hypocrisy. When you are with the other person, you are with one face and one attitude. And with the other person, you are with another face and with another attitude. A two-faced person. Dhu wajhain. And in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that he is of the worst people. Dhu wajhain. الَّذِي يَأْتِي هَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ وَهَؤُلَاءِ بِوَجْهٍ. He comes to one people with one attitude, one face, goes to another people with another attitude and another face. And he says he will have two tongues of fire on the Day of Judgment. لَهُ لِسَانَانِ مِنْ نَارِ. So do not trust a person who comes to you with this type of news. And reject it. And remind them of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what will happen to them in the grave and on the Day of Judgment. And make dua for the person who is supposedly have said this and that about you, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. Because you should not believe whatever you have heard. Made dua for them, and that is the way actually for us to mend relationship rather than allow the shaitan and the namam who works like a magician to allow the namam to ruin relationships and infect us with this type of disease. So I remind myself and I remind you, and I advise myself and I advise you, do not practice it. And if you see it, run away from it, and advise people not to practice this. It is serious, even if people think that it is not. And it's of the vices of the tongue that we should avoid. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, to protect us from the vices of the tongue. Oh Allah, we ask you that you protect us from the sins of the tongue. Oh Allah, we ask you that you protect us from the sins of our tongues. Oh Allah, we ask you that you protect us from the sins of our tongues. Oh Allah, we ask you that you protect us from all sin, the one that we know about and the ones that we do not know about. Oh Allah, we ask you that you protect us from all shirk, the one that we know about and the ones that we do not know about. Oh Allah, we ask you for heaven and everything that brings us near to it. And we seek your refuge from hellfire and everything that brings us near to it. And we ask you for all the good in this life and in the hereafter. And we seek your refuge from all evil in this life and in the hereafter. Oh Allah, we ask you that you grant Muslims victory against their enemies and that you unite Muslims upon the truth. Oh Allah, unite Muslims upon your book and the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and give them clear victory against their enemy. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-khayra kullahu wa na'udhu bika min ash-sharri kullih. Wa nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa 'amal. Wa na'udhu bika min an-nari wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa 'amal. Wa nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma ista'adhaka minhu 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ya muqallibal qulubi thabbit qulubana 'ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrifal qulubi sarrif qulubana على طاعتك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. وأقم الصلاة.